Today's scripture comes from 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter. This is where Paul is writing to Timothy. He is telling Timothy the condition of the church, and he charges him many things during this chapter. But in chapter 2, keeping in line with what Mark read in John, he is talking about prayer. And this is what he says. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth.
You may be seated. May God bless the reading of His Word. It's good to be together today. Would you agree with that? What a great group as I look out this morning. I know we have some folks visiting with us from out of town and some folks from our community. And we just want to say thank you for choosing to worship God with us today. If you're joining us online, we want to thank you for that as well. And I've got to say, you know, we've received some great feedback from what we're trying to do through our online feed. And I will say this to you here in this congregation, but also to those who are listening on Facebook or watching on Facebook. When you see that individuals comment on our live stream, and if you are the ones who have commented on our live stream asking for prayers or letting us know where you're from and that you're watching, I want you to know something, that we read every one of your comments and that we take those serious. And I was so impressed. You know, this congregation received prayer requests because of the live feed. And that's a great ministry that we've got to be aware of, that is available to us and that we're in. Now, I'll also say this to you. We've also received feedback that due to the angle of the camera and where it is, that everybody in this back section and everybody in these back sections, you don't make the camera. Now, that may be okay for you, right? Some individuals say, I don't want to be on the camera, right? But I want you to know this, that what does the world see then when they look up and they see these sections of pews? And we've received feedback, people saying, well, it looks like nobody's there. And I just wish they could see everybody who was in the wings, right? So just be aware of that, that if we're going to go public and try to reach folks outside of these walls, kind of be aware of how it's presented, even in those small areas. So I wanted to say that this morning. Also, I will say this, and I know Mike mentioned this a couple weeks ago, because I do watch it when I'm not here. But we have started something new at Florence Boulevard, and it was on the front of the bulletin last week. The idea of a daily encouragement. And I get updates regularly. I'm the one who's doing that and seeing who's subscribing and whatnot. But if you've yet to subscribe to our daily encouragement, we want to invite you to do so. And what it is, it's a simple text message where we'll send out a scripture a day. And for those of you who are a part of our daily encouragement, you received your update this morning about 8 o'clock. We usually try to send them out. I schedule them for about 9 o'clock. But all it is, sometimes in the hustle and bustle of life, we don't take time to meditate on God's scripture. And so the daily encouragement is meant to be a daily boost. That when it goes off in your phone, you read it on your phone, it helps to refocus you. It gives you a passage to look at multiple times throughout the day. And our goal is with that it will bring encouragement to you. And so I'm not going to go through it right now how to subscribe to it. But I will tell you this. This is one of the pieces of paper that we got, that I saw on the round table out there in the foyer. And if you're interested in subscribing, but you don't know how, see one of your grandchildren. They will, I'm teasing, don't, yeah. Come talk to one of us, and we would be more than happy to tell you how to do it. And if you were to even just hand us your phone and say, sign me up, Well, then we'll be happy to sign you up. It's an easy text message that will sign you up for that. So those some of the things that I wanted to discuss with you. But I also wanted to say this. It's good to be home. It's good to be back. Aaron and I and the kiddos had a privilege of being in Los Angeles, California, this week, last Sunday through Wednesday, at the Imperial Highway Congregation, a congregation of about 120 faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. And I will tell you this, the singing was amazing. The fellowship was amazing. And I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters all the way on the other side of the United States. And then yesterday I had the privilege of speaking just outside of Oklahoma City to over 400 men at a men's conference. And I appreciate what Justin Beckman said this morning. And he didn't know how big of an impact that made on me. But he said, I would love to see something like that here. He said, I believe if you can get the men to be leaders in the homes, then those homes will change. Justin, you spoke truth, brother. And good news is this, that that's already in the talks for this area as Florence Boulevard is going to lead the way in trying to impact homes outside of just our walls. And so I'm excited about that and look forward to be able to reveal more about that for you in the future. Let's go to our Father in prayer, and we're going to get right into our lesson this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we praise your name. Lord, you are so good, and sometimes we just fail to stop and to recognize your goodness. Lord, it's been said already today and needs to be said again just for our own admission before you that we get, unfortunately, too busy with things that don't matter and it distracts us from being who you would have us to be. And for that, we repent. And Lord, we are sorry. Help us to change. Help us to be more in tune with your mission. Help us to be more in tune with who you are and telling others about you. And Lord, we pray that we recognize that our life is only short here on this earth. And Lord, we do look forward to being with you one day. And so when we pray, Lord, send your son Jesus soon, Lord, we mean that. I just assume that happened sooner than later. Heavenly Father, but if that's not your will, then we pray that we will be busy about your work while we're here until either we die or that time comes. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the encouragement that we can offer one another as we strive to get through in this life and not just endure it, but to be the light that you've called us to be. Lord, I pray today I stay out of your way. It's in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. A few weeks ago, we started a series that we are dealing with for the month or for the year of 2018. And that series is called Increasing. That's our theme. And you can see on the banners dealing with the concept that it's not enough just to possess these Christian virtues, but that God really expects all of us to be increasing in those virtues every day and every year that we live. And so for 2018 here at Florence Boulevard, it really is a call to grow and to increase in who we are and what we're supposed to be in the eyes of God. For the month of January, our smaller theme, our sub-theme, is on the subject of being called. And last time that I spoke, we dealt with the idea of who is calling. And I laid the foundation before you that unless you value the person who is on the other end of the line, then it doesn't make that call that as significant. And so we talked about who is God and the fact that God is the one who's doing the calling, that if we miss who he is, then of course his call for us won't be as significant. And so we began there. But this morning, I want you to contemplate another subject. I want you to put yourself in a predicament or a situation, and maybe you've got to go back a few years. I don't know how many of you are still operating on landlines. I know for our world, cell phones seem to be the norm, and the more that people turn to cell phones regularly, the landlines leave. But I want you to think back when that landline was your dominant way of communicating with people over the phone. I can remember that cord that connected it to the wall. And if somebody were sitting down and the phone would ring, unless it was a teenager who wanted to rush to the phone to see who it was, usually somebody would go to the phone and they would pick it up. And let's say, for instance, it was for men. And maybe they would hold their hand over the receiver. Have you ever held your hand over the receiver? That, teenagers, that was the old mute button, right? You just muffled it, right? And they would say, Joe, it's for you. Now, there were a couple questions that came out, weren't they? The first one we dealt with last time. Who is it? And chances are they knew, or if they didn't know, it would go like this. Who is it? And then they would hit the mute button again. Right? It's God. Now there was another question that usually came about. If that wasn't enough to get you up and to go to the wall where you actually had to talk on a landline, it would be this. What's he want? And then it would go like this. What do you want? And then hit the mute button right after they told him. He said, come to the phone. He wants... Now, here's the deal. The reason I introduced this concept of being called in that way is because when you understand who's on the other end of the line and making the call, usually the next logical question that comes out of our mind and out of our mouth is, I wonder what they are calling about. I wonder what he wants. And so this morning, I want you to think about this concept. If somebody calls on the phone for you, there is a difference in your urgency and in the importance of the call if they want something from you versus they want something for you. In other words, the telemarketer calls on the phone and they say, well, this is Jim Bob with such and such sales. And you say, let me go get him. And you say, hey, it's Jim Bob with such and such sales. You immediately start thinking, he wants something from me. And if they want something from you, if they're not significant enough for you to give that to them, then they all of a sudden become a burden to you. You see, sometimes that's the way people treat the call of God. They treat the call of God as if it is burdensome. Therefore, the discussion goes like this. Well, I can't become a Christian because look at everything I have to give up. Well, if I become a Christian, then I can't go do that anymore. I can't become a Christian because that means I have to change. And all of a sudden, the call of God, even if they recognize who God is, the call becomes a burden because they look at it that God wants something from them. Let me tell you something today about the God who calls you through the Scriptures. He wants something for you. Do you recognize that today? God calls through His Word because He wants something for you today. The question only is then, well, what does He want for me? And the answer, first of all, is this. He wants you to be saved. Do you know that today? That God calls because He wants something for you. And the what He wants for you is for your salvation. You see, what was read earlier by Steve from 1 Timothy chapter 2 is dealing with this concept where Timothy is left in an environment that he's got obligations and Timothy's being beat down in his ministry. But the core of this at the beginning of 1 Timothy, that well, obviously some of those themes will play out into 2 Timothy, but right here we learn something about God. We learn something about the one who's on the other end of the phone. And what we learn comes from chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, verses 3 and 4, where the Bible says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Do you recognize today that it is God's desire for everyone in this room to be saved? Do you recognize today that it is God's desire for everyone in the world to be saved? That's why He calls. That's why He sent Jesus to die on the cross. That's why God the Spirit inspired the biblical writers so that you and I could be even here today holding the inspired Word of God to read about who God is and who Jesus is and what it means to have grace and what it means to have mercy and what it means to have forgiveness. And you look at all of that, and at the core you have to say, you and I wouldn't know that if God had not revealed that. So in other words, God took the first step. He made the preparations so that you could be saved. That's what's so significant, that he didn't wait on you to love him before he loved you. He didn't wait to send Jesus to die on the cross for you when you actually wanted Jesus. He sent Jesus to die on the cross when we were his enemies, is what the text says in Romans chapter 5. You see, he made the first step. That's why I will tell you this. I know for a fact God, when he calls, it's because he wants something for you. See, he doesn't delight in individuals who remain lost for eternity. He doesn't delight in individuals who choose to live according to the deeds of the flesh in this world. And then when they breathe their last, they realize what eternity is going to be like outside of God. He doesn't delight in that. He would even say so in the book of Ezekiel chapter 18. And you say, in the Old Testament, God was saying the same things. I mean, after all, at times when we read the Bible, you know, we read of a God of the Old Testament who would strike Nadab and Abihu down for introducing strange fire in their worship. But we don't read of that God. And I will remind you, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even back in the Old Testament, we read of Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23. Where God says this, "Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord, rather than that he should turn from his ways and live?" He'll go on to say in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 32, in dealing with this subject, "The reality is, for I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore repent and live." I want to ask you a question today as a parent, as a grandparent. Have you ever disciplined your child and it actually hurt you to do it? Now, I was always told this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And I thought that was just a line that was used to make dad feel good. You know, almost like he could join in my suffering. Like, you don't understand, Dad. And I've told you before, I didn't come from the time of spankings. I came from the time of whoopings, and there's a difference. I wish my parents had given me a timeout. That would have been great. Right? But the reality is this, for an individual to discipline their child, they don't discipline the child because all of a sudden they stopped caring for their child. They don't do what they do because they want evil upon their child. A parent who has a teenager that is rebellious, or an individual in the early 20s who is rebellious, and it comes a point in time that they have to practice tough love and say that as long as you're going to live that way and participate that way without submitting to the rules of this house, of your father and I, then you can't live in this house anymore. And the child who is simply wrapped up in themselves says, "I can't believe you're acting like you don't even love me." And the parent's heart is breaking, because it is love that is at the root of that discussion. But you see, the child can't see that. And the reason the child can't see that is because of immaturity, because of vantage point. And sometimes when we look and see about God and his calling, sometimes we can't see what it's all about because of our point of view. And maybe you're that person either here or online that maybe you've been thinking, you know what? Christianity's all about the do's and the don'ts. And it really is a stifling concept and a stifling lifestyle of what I used to do, but I can no longer do, and the changes that I have to make. And it just seems like it's no fun. And I will say this to you. The only reason you've come to that conclusion is because you're missing the entirety of the point. You're missing why Jesus died in the first place. You're missing why we see that God is long-suffering in the first place. You're missing the fact that it gives him no pleasure.
when individuals choose to live outside of Him. Number one, He wants to save you. But number two, I want you to consider this. He wants to give you a blessing. But in order to give you a blessing, according to the Scriptures, He wants you to be one who blesses others. Now, this is a deeper concept within the text, but I want you to understand a key principle. And that is this, that when you answer the call of God, you do reap the benefit of salvation. But that salvation, which is based upon the blood of Jesus and based upon the mercy and grace of God, He gave you what you did not deserve. He was moved by His nature to love you when you were unlovable because He sees the value that He places within you, right? But there's something within the text that teaches us that it's not just about your forgiveness of sins. It's not just about having you have your sins washed away at the point of being immersed for the forgiveness of your sins. That from that moment on, it's about a transformation. That's where Romans chapter 12 comes into play, dealing with the do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Right? That renewing of our minds is a continual, ongoing, daily concept. And that means when you woke up this morning, did you have at the forefront of your mind that I will continue to seek to be renewed and to become what God would have me to become? It's this idea that I take off the old man and I'm clothed in the new man when I'm converted. But what happens from that point forward also matters to God. And there's a concept within the Scriptures that as we continue to grow, we actually will either remain in favor with God or we will fall from His grace. That's why individuals who miss the boat and they believe, well, I was baptized when I was 15, therefore I don't need to continue to seek God. Or I had my sins forgiven when I was 21, therefore there's nothing else for me to do. And you couldn't be further from the truth. You couldn't be further from what it means to grow and to mature and to fullness or completeness according to the likeness of Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, in dealing with Christians who are going through tremendous sufferings, that they have a responsibility, and that responsibility is not just to those who are within the church. And it's not just to those who are staying out of their way and not persecuting them or practicing evil against them. Because the Bible says, beginning with verse 8, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult. And then he says this, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called, there's our theme word, right? For you were called for this very purpose. What purpose? To give a blessing. You're telling me I was called for something other than my salvation? I would propose this to you, that you can't separate these two concepts. Your salvation and this purpose that he is speaking about, they go hand in hand. He says, you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. Now, folks, when I read that, I'm reminded of passages that were stated earlier in the Bible. Passages like Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, where the Bible says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Passages like Luke chapter 6, which would teach the very same thing, or 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 12, where Paul would teach the same thing regarding our enemies. Now here's the deeper point behind this. It is easy to love those who love you. It is easy to bless those who bless you. It is easy to do good to those who do good to you. But why is it so tough to love our enemies? Why is it so tough to not repay evil for evil or insult for insult? How do I get there? Because I totally get it. When it comes to when people are nice to me, I will be nice back to them. And when they say nice things about me, I'll say nice things about them. But Joe, this whole concept, when individuals insult me, you want me to turn around and give them a blessing? And I would say this to you. That's not what I'm saying to you. That's what God's Word says to all of us this morning. And the question is how? If Christianity is this difficult, is it really worth it? And the answer is absolutely it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it. But I will tell you this, you don't get there by being baptized at 21 or 15 or 30 and believing that you're done. Maturity oftentimes comes with hurt. You think about some of the greatest lessons that you've learned in your life. You think about how you knew that it was wise to pay your bills on time. And I'm going to guess that somewhere in your history, you may have had to find out the hard way of what happens when you don't pay your bills on time. You think about why it is that you shouldn't overdraft your bank account. And I'm going to guess that when you have that wisdom today, it's because wisdom and maturity came with hurt when the bank slapped an overdraft charge on your account. You think about all of the lessons that you are at right now in your physical mature life. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that most of those lessons were learned the hard way. You see, growing hurts. Growing hurts physically. Growing hurts emotionally. And I would offer this to you. Growing hurts spiritually. Because if it were easy, then everybody would do it. If it were easy, everybody would do it. The problem is it's not easy. You know why? Because when you start realizing what giving a blessing is, which that word literally means to speak well of those who speak ill of you. Within that context, that's what that word means. It means show them active kindness. So it's not just a word only, but a giving of a blessing. When you go back even in Judaism, you go back in the Bible, what it meant to be a blessing to other people, you will find that being a blessing oftentimes had some type of physical component, be it monetarily, be it time where you would bear one another's burdens in an emotional sense. And so this idea of being a blessing, it's easy to be a blessing or to give a blessing to those who want to bless you. But you see, that's not what that text was talking about. That text was talking about being and giving a blessing to those who insult you and to those who offer evil against you. And my question is this, how do I get there? And how does that all fit with what does God want in this calling? Well, I will simply offer this to you. He wants to save you. But he also, along the way, he wants you to become an active part, not just in your maturity, but in your fully grasping and holding on to what it means to have that forgiveness. You see, the forgiveness that we have from God is supposed to compel us to be something. It's supposed to change our lives. And that's why when I think about this idea of forgiveness and I think about the idea of being a blessing to those who weren't necessarily a blessing to us. The passage that comes to my mind is in Matthew chapter 18 where the king had this individual who owed him roughly what would have been the equivalent, some say today, over $6 billion. When the Bible simply says in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 18, "For this reason the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him." That's roughly, some say, $6 billion in today's money. And that's how much he owed the king. The Bible says in verse 25, after he was brought to the king, but since he did not have the means to repay, his lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children, that all that he had and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you everything. And the lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, which was the equivalent roughly of about 5 months worth of salary. So you go from somewhere around $6 billion today to roughly 5 months worth of your salary. And he seized him and he began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you. But he was unwilling. You see, the difference between the king and this servant who owed so much and was forgiven so much was that the king was filled with compassion. But the one who was forgiven is described as unwilling. Why is that a problem? Well, because the Lord would eventually summon that fellow back after he threw the man in prison. And he would say this to him, the Lord to the first servant, he said, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord moved with anger. Now, here's what's interesting, and you need to hear this today. He initially was moved with compassion, but now he's moved with anger. And my question to you is this, what changed the disposition of the one in this text who is the king or the Lord? Was it that he changed as a man? No, he didn't change as a man. Maybe he changed his abilities. Maybe there was a law that was drafted and he all of a sudden had new abilities. No, there was no law that was drafted. So what changed him from compassion to anger? And you already know the answer, don't you? It was that the one who had been forgiven much did not forgive others in their life. You think for 1 minute about being a blessing and giving a blessing to those who do evil to you and those who insult you. And I would offer this to you, that God not only wants you to be saved, but He wants you to identify with Him as you and I continue to mature in our faith. That's what it means for this purpose you were called. You and I have been called to increase. We've been called to mature spiritually. And I would offer this to you, that if we don't, in particular in this area, that we will move God from compassion to anger as well as it relates to us. So when you think about this wonderful opportunity to answer the call, I will tell you today that when you scream across the room, who is it? And someone says, it's God. He's calling. And you say, what does He want? What do you want, God? I want to save you. And I want you to identify with me in being a blessing giver. That's what I want. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you answered the call of God for your salvation? Have you answered the call of God for your salvation? I'm going to answer that for you real easily today. If you have refused to submit your will to His, if you've never confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior in your life, if you've never repented of your sins, and yes, if you've never been baptized, fully immersed for the remission, the forgiveness of your sins, then you've never answered the call. But maybe the lesson today for some of us is when you find out what He wants, Are you identifying with him today? And let me answer that for us real easy too. What grudges are you holding today? Who do you no longer speak to? Who are you purposely withholding forgiveness from? And maybe they've sought it out, but you quote unquote weren't ready to give it. You see, if those questions linger in your mind, then my question of are you identifying with him today, you're at a conflict. You're at a crossroads with whether or not you're truly answering the call. Now the good news about this morning is this. God offers forgiveness. He offers forgiveness for the sin in our life that have separated us from him in our initial conversion that needs to happen. And he offers forgiveness for those of us who have obeyed the gospel, but maybe we have failed in identifying with him of being a blessing giver. Oh, we bless individuals who bless us, but I'm going to tell you right now, if they're not nice to me, I'm not going to be nice to them. And if they say mean things about me, I'm going to take every opportunity to say mean things about them. And if they slander me, I'm going to slander them. Bible says, do unto others as they would have you do unto, you'd have them do under them. And that must mean they want me to do this. That sounds like a 6-year-old logic. Reality is this. It's easy to be a Christian when everybody's being nice to you. It's hard to identify with God when he calls me to be a blessing giver to those who do evil to me and insult me. This morning, I don't know how you're doing in your walk. I don't know, and I don't know if this lesson touches you here or touches those who watch online. I don't know, but I know this much. Finding out what God wants and answering that call is crucial in your life, not only this morning, but walking away from here throughout this week and throughout this month and throughout the rest of your life, because there will come a time where the breath will be taken from your lungs. There will come a time where you will no longer have a heartbeat. There will come a time where you will leave here. And whether you answered the call while you had the opportunity, it really will matter in eternity. Squandered opportunities are probably one of the most disappointing things that I've seen in my life. And I've actually squandered plenty on my own. But I've told you before, we used to work at a children's home in the state of Tennessee back when I was in college and my parents were house parents. We had somewhere between 7 and 10 boys live with us between the ages of 13 and 18. And they were taken away from their homes. It was a bad home situation, or else they had done things to be kicked out of even alternative school. And so they came to live in a group home. And the way it worked was, if you worked the group home process for 6 months, you could get out of there in 6 months and fulfill what the judge had laid upon them. What was sad to me was is that you would see young men who had the opportunity to have their lives transformed in that 6 month period. But they would quote unquote play the system. They would say yes ma'am and they would say yes sir and they would line up when they were supposed to line up and they would go turn the TV off when they were supposed to. And when it was time to eat, there wasn't two calls. If you didn't come at the first time, you got some discipline. I mean, it was a strict environment because it wasn't day school. I mean, these kids were there for a reason. They would quote unquote play the system. And in 6 months, they were getting out, but there was zero transformation that had occurred in their life. It was sad to me as the staff, we would be able to look at some of those kids and say this, he'll be back or else he'll be dead or else he'll be in prison. And you say, how was that? Because the fruit shows whether you're playing the system. I pray that it'll never be said of any of us that we are playing the system in spiritual matters when it comes to our existence on this earth. Today, if you're ready to obey the gospel, then come down front. I will greet you And as I mentioned before, when somebody comes down front, we're no longer, the front of the auditorium can be the loneliest place. That's done. When somebody comes down front, our brothers and sisters, there will be other people who will come down with you. And they will support you. And you know what? If you're ready to obey the gospel, today is that day. Not tomorrow, not putting it off. Today is the day. Come down front. If you need to repent, ask for the prayers. Our elders are wonderful to counsel and pray with people. And I will tell you, this congregation is wonderful to support. Maybe that's where you need to be during this invitation song. Maybe it's down here with me. Whatever it is, I'm going to encourage you during the singing of this song to really, truly ask yourself the question, have I answered the call? Or am I playing the system? This morning, you're subject to the Lord's invitation. Come forward right now as together we stand and as we sing.